You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 4th of November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry, we've got tapering happening, announced by the Federal Reserve last night. We'll touch on that. Also chatting with this came around, actually a good set of numbers, and they're starting to pay dividends again. And then Anthony Clark from Small Talk Daily, and we're chatting with him around Renergen. They announced a six-fold increase in helium reserves yesterday, stock up 15%, although I see off 10% in Australia this morning. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines. MoneyWeb: Treasury listens to industry on Reg 28. Some changes coming, particularly around infrastructure, and those look like really good changes. One which, not surprising, no crypto allowed in Reg 28. Business Day: Peter Moyer and Old Mutual saga drags onto the Gauteng High Court. I'd forgotten this was still happening, but of course Peter Moyer, fired CEO of Old Mutual. He wants directors declared delinquent and says they should go to jail for being in contempt of court. This has been messy for way too long. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.2%, Nasdaq up 1.1%. Again, all-time highs for both of those. Asia's green with Sydney up a quarter and Tokyo almost 1% higher. Commodities mixed, we've got gold, $1,777 an ounce. Brent coming weaker at $81.36 a barrel. And palladium holding at $2,017 an ounce. Rand, 15.27. Top 40 looking to open just over 500 points up. That's about 0.8%. That is 10 cent trades up, almost 2% in Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the early morning. We got the Federal Reserve last night after their two-day meeting, Chair Jerome Powell telling us that tapering is starting. Currently, they're doing $120 billion a month. They're going to be dropping it by $15 billion. This has been incredibly well communicated to the market in the sense that the market kind of shrugged it off.
Yes, this was well anticipated. And certainly his comments on interest rates was welcomed by the market. But we must understand it's not really the Fed tapering policy that will affect the direction of markets. Mm-hmm. It's what's going to happen to inflation and their reaction to that. Because no matter what the Federal Reserve says, they are still slaves to that inflation number. If it stays stubbornly high, their hand will be forced.
Yeah, and he made the point. I mean, he said, you know, we still think that this is transitory. We still think it'll fade away. If it doesn't, then we're going to get rates coming probably by mid-next year, perhaps even yes, earlier.
Perhaps even earlier. I mean, all central banks worldwide are reactive. They're not proactive. Yeah, they react to circumstances.
Yeah, they're almost in a sense a little bit behind the curve.
Yes, they always are.
Yeah, and that's just how central banks work. They can't see futures. I'm chatting with Dis-Chem in a moment. A strong set of results out from them.
Yes, very nice results.
Very good numbers.
And we're seeing this quite consistently in most retailers. They're back to pre-COVID levels. Mm-hmm. They all seem to have recovered from the unrest. So the underlying consumer economy, despite all the jobs that have been lost, is quite strong.
It is strong.
It's there.
I mean, we've got the 350 Rand grants going, but I mean, that can't be the issue. I mean,
that can't be it now.
Because we're seeing Dis-Chem. We saw the Mr. Price update. It is, I suppose, in a sense, it's some folks who've been saving. Also, we've been locked down, but South Africans are out there and spending. We saw it in Mr. Price update at the same time.
Yeah, and they're all back to pre-COVID levels. I mean, virtually everyone that comes out with results is back to pre-COVID levels. So, you know, it's terrible that we've lost so many jobs mm-hmm. in a country like ours, but clearly the jobs that were lost were subsistence. Mm-hmm. And maybe the income there has been replaced by all the grants, mm-hmm. but the retailers are doing quite well.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And then news came out of Bloomberg yesterday, Brian Joffe in talks to sell Long for Life to Old Mutual. I really liked the idea of Long for Life. It never sort of got going. It's a prospective private equity arm taking it makes some sense. They can chop it up. There's some good pieces in that business.
Yes, and I mean, the Long for Life, Brian's always maintained that it was massively undervalued by the market. And you could see by all the published NAVs that he put in his financial statements and in all of his releases, and he was very vocal about it in presentations to the investment community. Then they came up with the plan via Investec to actually split the business up and list all the retailers separately and keep the other businesses, and then this buyout stories started to happen, and now they've been bought by a private equity firm, which is essentially what Brown always wanted it to be, a private equity type of setup. But as you said, the market didn't quite grab this right here.
Yeah, no, it absolutely didn't. And his plan was to use script for doing deals. And, of course, if your script is at a discount, nothing works. So we'll leave it there. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Trading now with Iwari Mared, Dis-Chem Chief Financial Officer. Results for 6 months ending August. Revenue was up 16.6%. Headline earnings up 35.3%. And dividend reinstated at 19.5 cents a share. Roy, appreciate the early morning. I was digging through the results. The only time your HEPS was higher was back in the 2018 interims. I was looking at the interims. It was 51.7. You're obviously a bigger business since then. You've added stores. You've done some acquisitions. Since that you're kind of back at pre-COVID, certainly shopping patterns seem to suggest that.
Yes, morning, Simon. Agreed. I think we are seeing some sort of normalization in shopping patterns. Certainly for ourselves, whose network is, I guess, weighted towards some of the larger malls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our larger malls drove our like-for-like revenue number and on the back of that, some leverage in the operating profit number. So as you said, I mean, we are seeing some sort of normalization, still impacted by a slight margin mix in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we're happy to see foot traffic returning.
Foot traffic's back. Are shopper trends changing? You know, we're certainly, you know, during parts of the pandemic and certainly lockdowns, less visits but longer visits, a lot more online happening. Are you still seeing those trends in place, or is the sort of pattern returning back to what we used to be back in 2019 before the pandemic?
So COVID has definitely changed the way the consumer engages with retail. I think one of the things that is evident and certainly has step changed is e-commerce. It's growing now at around 18%, but I mean, last year this time we were talking about growth of 200-300%, and that's and that stayed there. So I mean, from our perspective, I think it's important to give the consumer, you know, different channels and accesses to touch the brand. You know, in many instances, people want to place an order online, collect in store, or get it delivered. Many people still, as I said, from a foot traffic perspective, want a physical engagement in store. So I suppose it's opened up more avenues to the consumer.
Yeah, and I take your point. I mean, it stayed. You're only up 18%. I say only. It's a big number, and it's off a big base. Folks have tried new ways of shopping and are enjoying it. You did some acquisitions over the period, Baby City, notably one of them. You also been the Medicare pharmacies, which then sort of ties in with your low-cost healthcare. You've got nurse appointments. You've got telemedicine doctors, which, you know, the growth seems to be happening, perhaps a little slowly. But if I look forward, this is surely going to be one of the futures of healthcare, particularly in South Africa, where healthcare is expensive to much of the population.
So absolutely, Simon. I think strategically we've always provided services into higher cost medical scheme products. Mm-hmm. You know, the entry point into healthcare as it stands today is a relatively expensive GP consult. And in many instances, certainly from a primary healthcare perspective, we believe that our clinic sisters or just generally nurses are undervalued. You know, it's a much lower point of entry into the environment. And certainly if you think about, you know, 12.5 million people that are employed and uninsured and consuming healthcare on a cash basis, it's effectively the private sector's way of providing quality health outcomes at affordable prices in convenient locations.
And in essence, you know, you mentioned the high barrier to a GP visit. In many cases, I could actually do a nurse appointment, and I mean, if need be, they could refer me to a GP, a telemedicine doctor as well. But much of it can actually be managed by the nurse. And is this happening in store? Is it happening tele?
Yes, it is. So happening in store. Mm-hmm. So across our network, we have more than an average of two clinics per store. So to your point, the scope of service that nurse instances can solve some of these acute conditions. And it doesn't prevent the triage. I mean, it doesn't prevent the nurse from passing you on to a GP and then subsequently a GP passing you on to a specialist if mm-hmm. required. Mm-hmm. But the access to the GP is via VideoMed in our stores.
And it's that lower first point, and I go back to the point you made. A GP is often, you know, I think of my GP, it is hundreds and hundreds of rands. It's a massive barrier. Private label, which is something which I was unaware that Dis-Chem was doing much in that space. Certainly, we've seen retailers move a lot into private label, and this is now a space that Dis-Chem is looking at quite seriously as well.
Yes, we are, Simon. I mean, we've always done elements of private label. Mm-hmm. I think previously, we've done a private label in the traditional sense, so very much focused on price point. Mm-hmm. But in certain of our categories, we've managed to land lots of exclusive brands, you know, quality and price at mm-hmm. different price points within the category. And there's opportunity specifically in personal care and baby for ourselves. And with the acquisition of Baby City, it's obviously made us focus on the private label opportunity. So we do see decent opportunity over the next 3 years in private label.
We'll leave it there. That's Rory Marais, Dis-Chem Chief Financial Officer, checking those results for 6 months end August. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Anthony Clark. You find him on the Twitters at SmallTalkDaily. Talking Renogen, which is a stock I do hold. Anthony, a much anticipated reserve update from the company yesterday. Short answer, it knocked it out the park. Helium reserves up 620%. Methane reserves up over 400%. In the case of helium, this must make them one of the biggest deposits in the world, if not the biggest.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. I think you're correct in your analysis. If you look at the largest producers in the world of helium, which is the United States and Qatar, given what Renogen announced yesterday with the potential of that deposit in the Free State, they could claim to be, yes, the largest providers in the world once it's extracted, condensed, and supplied to the market. So a fantastic reserve and resource update, and that caused the share price, as you saw, to have a big surge overnight in Australia, mm-hmm. and that fed through into JSE, and it's off to the races.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to Australia because I had a peak a moment ago, and it's under some pressure there. But, I mean, they've got the reserve. Phase one is due up later this year. Next month, phase one kicks off. Phase two, still to be built. The challenge is, I mean, they need some $12 billion around that. I've spoken with CEO Steph Marani before. They've got multiple options of funding, rights issues. They've got bank loans. Of course, they've got those helium contracts they're selling now. But this is still some way to really get the project up to full capacity.
Yes, they've got until the end of 2024 to get Virginia Phase 2 up and running. because many of the offtake agreements they've signed for liquid natural gas and helium mm-hmm. have to be delivered to varying parties by that time. So we've got about 2.5 to 3 years to get the entire project up and running. And as you mentioned, that could cost, to their estimations, $800 million US, or around 12.3 billion rand as it stands right now. You know, there are varying mechanisms to fund this. You know, now that we know what's in the ground, all the clever mining analysts can actually value this, and I'm sure the bankers will be jumping all over Renergen to offer them terms because we know what can be extracted. A rights issue, possibly down the track, and of course the helium tokens. Mm-hmm. $25 million is currently being raised. That could easily be ratcheted up. So at some point there will be a need for capital, and I would guess that'll start to accelerate into 2022 as the plant needs to be up and running to meet those obligations by the end of 2024.
But I take your point on that. In this case, the bankers are probably phoning Renergen rather than Renergen having to phone the bankers, which is a nice way to have it. This increased reserve, I mean, does this mean that the plant phase two, when it's up and running, can produce more? Does it extend perhaps to just the life of the reserve? How does that work? I mean, I'm not sure. I don't understand that sort of process of the mining operation.
Yeah, what basically this update has given the market is confidence that there is sufficient resource and reserve in the ground to make this project a viable project for at least 20 years. Now, the market seems to forget that Renergen actually has a license to operate on that piece of ground, which runs out in roughly 20 years' time. So they basically have to make money while sun shines. Yes, the license could possibly be extended. Mm-hmm. But as it stands right now, under the presentation that they gave, which is freely available online, they can produce 44 million standard cubic feet of gas a day. That is methane condensed into liquid natural gas and then the extraction of helium. In round numbers for layman, for phase one, that's roughly 350 kilograms of helium and about 55 tons a day of liquid natural gas. The more expensive phase two, which we'll work on next year, it'll ramp up to 5 tons of helium, which is equivalent to about 5% of daily global production, mm-hmm. and between 750 tons and 800 tons of liquid natural gas, which is small in the scale of things, but the real money maker here is helium. The site can produce up to 65 million cubic feet a day. So but by only producing 44 million, they are well within their thresholds, which means that this site in the Free State has longevity. So they really needed to ramp up production to, you know, to, as the old saying goes, milk the cow. They mm-hmm. absolutely could, but at a cost. So it truly is a world-class deposit, sitting there just outside Velcom.
Yeah, in the middle of the Free State. I was saying to someone, you know, where do you find helium? It turns out you find it in the Free State. Last question. It's had an epic run. I know you've been very bullish on the stock for I think, since the low teens. I was a little bit later in that sense. Is it, I mean, in terms of pricing, a bit ahead of itself? I see this morning in Australia, it's trading down some 10%, sort of giving back some of the more recent pop. Notwithstanding, it's up almost 50% in the last couple of days on the JSE.
Yeah, from its lowest, Simon, in early August, this stock is up 166% as of yesterday's closing of JSE of 40 rand 90 cents. I wrote a 15-page note yesterday eulogizing the reserve and resources data, which we needed as a company to actually value the business. Mm-hmm. But nothing goes up in a straight line. And at some point, a correction actually has to occur, you know, for the good of the stock. And as you correctly said, in Australia this morning, as I'm looking at the screen right now, it's down 8.76% to $3.33, which is the equivalent of 37 rand and 90 cents in volumes of about 570,000 rand. Initially, in Australian opening, the stock was very, very firmly bid at about 3 rand 90. So it would have surged in early trade, but simply didn't hold. And we are off about 9% so far. So I think the JSE will have a slightly weaker opening, but after having had literally a near doubling in a month, you know, some form of profit taking, as you and I both know, is a healthy thing for a stock. So the prospects remain solid for this company. It just now needs to invest in phase two.
Yep, and to your point, nothing goes up in a straight line. Anthony Clark, you find him at Small Talk Daily on the Twitters. Our poll today, we're asking you on Twitter and LinkedIn, is around Renergen. Are you holding? Are you taking profits? Did you miss it? Or perhaps you're in for the long run? I didn't take my profits. I am prepared to hold this for many years. The stock ultimately, I think, is probably worth a lot more. But we'll leave that there. Anthony, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Bruce Williamson from Integral Asset Management around PGMs. He's bullish on them. He says that this current 6 months will be the second best 6 months ever. The previous to June was the best ever. The question you asked you on our LinkedIn and Twitter, will PGMs bounce or is it over? Majority of you, two-thirds, saying it is going to bounce, with a third of you saying no, it is over. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.